This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 221 for the week starting 10 June 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, SA's premier tech news website and podcast network.
On Talk Central this week, Sipho Maseko's open letter to South Africa's political leaders.
Also this week, Remgro's CIVH to buy Vumatel. Telecoms operators take ICASA to court. Vodacom ordered to withdraw best network claim. And Google bars AI for weapons but continues to work with the military.
It's Sunday. We're live on the interwebs and it's time to talk everything technology.
Oh, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Welcome to all our live listeners as well today. Just a reminder, if you want to participate in the podcast, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note, 071-999-1111. That's 071-999-1111. And we've got quite a few voice notes to get to today, which we will do so shortly. We had some good chats this week, actually, on the podcast. I had a great discussion with Mark Pilgrim, who I think many listeners will know. He hosts mid-morning show on Hot 91.9 here in Johannesburg, and he is a self-professed Apple aficionado. What am I saying? Android. He told me, in fact, he would never use Android. And we had a great discussion about the WWDC event in San Francisco earlier in the week. That was, of course, Apple's big developer conference. And had a great chat with Mark Pilgrim, also about his career in radio, and also his fight with cancer and the heart attack he had a few years ago. It's a really, really great discussion. So if you haven't heard that one, go and have a listen to it. The other podcast I'd like to highlight this week is the one we did with Peter Ace. Many of the listeners of the show will know him as the former CEO of Vodacom. He now works for Remgro, and he sits on the board as non-executive chairman of Community Investment Ventures Holdings, which is the company that's in the process of buying Vumatel, which we'll talk about in the news this week, also worth a listen. So, 071-999-1111 is the WhatsApp number. Please send us a voice note if you've got any questions or comments on the show today. We'd love to hear from you. And in fact, we have quite a few comments on our WhatsApp line this week. So let's jump straight into those, Richard. Let's start with one that was a text message. It starts, almost reluctant to read this. Hello, Uncle Duncan MacLeod. I'm not sure how I feel about being called an uncle, but there we go. He says, thanks for, and this is from, by the way, this is from Mohammed Gangat, and he lives in Vienen in KwaZulu-Natal. He says, thanks for such an informative show. I live in Vienen, KwaZulu-Natal, and there's still no ADSL lines here. I went to Telkom's website and required them to install an ADSL line in my area several times without luck. Can you assist me, please? And why is it that all other towns smaller than Vienen have ADSL? Well, I don't know the answer to that question, Mohammed. I know that Telkom has actually been decommissioning a lot of lines in rural areas. I wouldn't get too hopeful about getting DSL, I'm afraid. The more outlying areas are more being served with LTE, fixed LTE infrastructure these days. I'm afraid I have no specific comment on Vienen in KwaZulu-Natal. I think I've been there. I think it's in northern KZN, somewhere near Newcastle or in that area. Or Ladysmith, somewhere in northern KZN, I think. Sorry, chap, I don't know. You're probably going to be waiting a long time for fiber infrastructure in that area if it ever comes. But I don't think you're going to be getting DSL, which is really a legacy technology now, I'm afraid. So I don't have great news for you. Then we got a voice note from Vipina van der Walt, who has been on the show previously. I think it was when we recorded 2 weeks ago, he sent us a voice note. And he sent us a follow-up, which I'm going to play quickly, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting me on the show. I was so stoked to hear myself on here. It was great. I just wanted to pitch another idea for you this week, another app that maybe would be worthwhile, meaningful to everyone who's listening. If you're into mindfulness and meditation, I'd highly recommend the app Headspace. It is pricey, I won't lie. It is for both Android and iOS. but it's incredibly well done. And the lessons are fantastic. If you're just learning about meditation, they've got a 10-free-day trial, which you can test out. Otherwise, you can buy the full package and subscribe, and then you can get access to the whole database. Very great elements. They send you little reminders. It's very well-researched lessons. They have great videos content as well. And anyone who wants to further their mindfulness or meditation practice, it is highly valuable, and I can't recommend it enough. Okay, keep up the good work. Look forward to the next episode. Cheers.
Well, thanks, Vepana. If anyone's interested in meditation, Headspace is his recommendation. Go check it out. I don't meditate.
I'm downloading it now, actually.
Oh, are you?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
All right, go check it out. Let us
Not
know.
That I meditate, but hey, you never know. It might be worth starting at some point.
We then have a voice note from Glenn Varan, who's a fan of the show and a loyal, long-time listener of the show. Glenn is from Cape Town and was one of the pioneers in his neighborhood for getting fiber installed. I think they got it through Frogfoot eventually. But we've got a message from Glenn, so let's have a listen to this.
Hey guys, it's Glenn here from Cape Town. A few shows back, you talked about those really flaky Android boxes that you buy at big box retailers. Yeah, I couldn't agree more there, huh? I picked one up about a year ago, and I managed to find some firmware that would allow me to give me the proper Android TV user experience. Although it's not officially certified by Google, but at least it gave me a taste. At least it was a lot better than the firmware that was on the device originally. So, of course, the hardware is not great, so it's time for an upgrade. And I'm going for the NVIDIA Shield. Seriously, guys, you need to look at this device. I mean, the reviews, the benchmarks just speak for themselves. It is certified by Google, as well as the apps that run on there, like Netflix and so forth, are certified by their vendors. So you kind of have that guarantee that the apps are going to work really well. I mean, Netflix 4K HDR, provided you've got the TV, will work out of the box. It's got a Plex server and a Plex client. So, can I go on? All right. So, yeah,
I'm just going to pause that message there because Glenn talks about a different subject after that. But NVIDIA Shield, have you had a look at that, Richard?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've heard about it, but I kind of just shrugged it off as something. I've got my PC connected. I wouldn't use it, but it's always opportunity for more gadgets, right? I actually need to see if I can get hold of one and play with it and see.
I don't think they're officially sold in South Africa. I've also only just looked at it peripherally, but it does look like a very nice box.
Yeah, I can see. I'll just do a quick search. I mean, it seems like you can probably buy them through third parties in South Africa on BitterBuy from 3.8 to other guys going up to about $6,000. So
sure. Not cheap.
I'm sure if you want one desperate, if you're desperate enough, you can get one. But why wouldn't it be available in South Africa yet? I mean, it's been out for quite a while.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I've never really tried, but it's something I haven't really looked at. But I must say I'm quite keen to find out more about the NVIDIA Shield. And I'm sure it's good for gaming as well, although I stand to correction. I really don't know much about the box, I'm afraid, Glenn. But maybe you can...
Let's see if you can get one first,
well,
Duncan.
Well, Glenn's getting one, so maybe he can provide us some feedback once he's... had a chance to play with it, yeah. Let us know what you think of it, Glenn. I might get one myself. They're very nice-looking boxes, I must say. But the second part of Glenn's message, Rechot, is for you. Have a listen.
Relic that I'm currently using. In any case, Rechot, you have been reviewing high-end routers of late. I was wondering if you could take a look at the Ubiquiti range of networking products. I've got the access point, the one that looks like a UFO. It's the ACLR. Man, this device, I swear by it. Coupled with a controller software, which I'm currently running on a Raspberry Pi, which is obviously running my home automation platform as well. And I cannot give praise to this product. I've got full Wi-Fi coverage within my house, and also I plan to put in a second one because I need to expand my 5 gigahertz coverage, because that coverage is not not wonderful. But at least I've sorted out my Wi-Fi problems. And of course, at some point, I want to replace my router with the security gateway, which again is a product unto itself. So yeah, looking forward to that. If you can arrange that, so that you can put that one gigabit fiber connection to the test with the Ubiquiti products. In any case, guys, thanks for the great show. As always, keep it up and chat again soon. Cheers, bye.
Well, there you go. It sounds like you're going to have to get one of those.
Yeah, definitely. That's some great feedback. I have kept my eye on the Ubiquiti stuff, but they just initially, they always seem a bit more high-end than what I need. But hey, if they provide the coverage, I know the guy that I can get them from, so I must actually make a call next week and then start playing and see how far I can push this this gigabit network.
There we go. You can review that router while Glenn gives us his feedback on the NVIDIA Shield. And our last voice note today.
Definitely. Thanks for that suggestion.
Our last voice note today comes from, I think it's Diane. Let's have a listen to this.
How's it, Richard and Duncan? Diane here. Quick one on the new network launch this past week of Rain Mobile. I just want to know, what are you guys' thoughts on it? Do you think it is competitively priced? I know they were offering 250 Rand unlimited data, excluding 6 hours within the day. I know personally I expected a much better or compelling offer, because I think where they're going to make most of their money is on that 50 Rand per gig, which could run up a big bill in those 6 hours that the unlimited data doesn't include. Keen to hear your guys' thoughts. Thanks.
Rain Mobile, they launched this week, kind of a soft launch. They're not sort of shouting about it from the hilltops yet, but I have an podcast interview tomorrow afternoon with Willem Reus, who's the CEO of Rain. We'll be recording live at 3 p.m. if you want to go on to live.techcentral.co.za and listen to that. Otherwise, we'll package it as a podcast immediately thereafter. But the pricing looks pretty compelling to me. 50 Rand a gig or 5 cents a megabyte. You pay for what you've used at the end of the month. It looks quite compelling. It's a mobile broadband network that does not offer voice services. So if you put this in your phone, you're probably going to want to have a dual SIM phone and use another SIM for voice calls. But 50 Rand a gig and then unlimited data, I think on a promotional basis for a period of time within certain hours. I think for like 18 or 19 hours a day, it's unlimited. And then you use, I think between 5 p.m. and midnight or something, you pay that 50 cents, though that 5 cent rate. It's pretty good, I think, certainly relative to the big mobile operators. I haven't run the comparisons, but compared to Telkom, I'm not sure how it stacks up to those freemium plans. But it's certainly a compelling offering in the market. I think having even any sort of uncapped offering in the mobile market is difficult to do given all the spectrum constraints. At face value, and I must admit, I haven't looked at it in a great deal of detail, but it... It looks reasonable. It looks pretty good. And we'll be talking to Willem Reus tomorrow and get some more detail about what their thinking is and where they're going to be taking this.
Yeah, look, it certainly sounds interesting. But if I compare it to my own package, with Afrihost, I get 2 gigs for 99 Rand. So you can certainly bring it down if you manage your network usage smartly, or if you manage your with and have potentially a bolt-on like Afrihost on, I think. Mm. But for everybody else... You know, 50 Rand a gig is pretty damn good.
Yeah. Anyway, listen to the podcast with Willem Reus tomorrow. We'll have some more insight and detail on where the company's going around these tariff plans and how they work exactly. So if you're interested in Rain Mobile, if you have coverage, I don't, I must say, even though I'm here in a highly populated part of Johannesburg, there's no coverage in my suburb. The neighboring suburbs have Rain Mobile coverage, but not me, so I can't even test it out for you. But that's Rain Mobile. And thanks for all the voice notes, guys. Please keep them coming. 071-999-1111. We love the feedback, and we'll try our best to answer your questions where we can. And, Glenn, please let us know about that NVIDIA Shield. I'm quite keen to hear more about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, before we dive into this week's news, let's do our quiz. Do you want to do the first question?
Certainly. The first question in this week's quiz. Remgro's CIVH is planning to buy 100% of fiber specialist Vumatel. How much of the business did it announce it's acquired this week?
And which mobile operator this week took communications regulator ICASA to court over the short deadline it was given to implement new rules about data expiry and rollover?
The third question, which streaming video provider snapped up rights to England's Premier League this week?
And Qualcomm this week unveiled a new processor for PCs in an effort to begin to dislodge Intel's dominance in the PC market. What is that processor called?
That's going to be an interesting one. And the final question, Microsoft this week acquired which platform of software developers? And for a bonus point, how much is the deal worth? That's also a big one.
It is a big one, yeah. And lots of unhappy, I think particularly Linux developers out there, open source developers out there about the acquisition. And I think I've just given away the answer there if you didn't know it already. But we'll get to the answers at the end of the show, as always. But let's jump into this week's news. And there's a ton of stuff to talk about. Of course, didn't record last Sunday, but there was so much this week anyway that we're going to keep the focus to this week's main news. And without doubt, the biggest news this week was the story that broke on Friday that CIVH, or Community Investment Ventures Holdings, is buying Vumatel. They've announced that they have already bought 34.9% of the company, and they are now in exclusive negotiations over the next couple of months to conclude a deal to buy 100% of Vumatel. Very interesting. Sure. Very interesting move, especially in light of the fact that we reported on Tech Central, a couple of weeks ago, that Vodacom was in talks to buy a stake in Vumatel. The rumor was that they were going to buy a 49% stake. So I get the very distinct impression here that CIVH/Remgro have stolen this from under Vodacom. Of course, CIVH is the biggest shareholder in Dark Fiber Africa, which is the big open access fiber provider, which has rolled out fiber across South Africa between the cities and also extensive metropolitan fiber infrastructure. And more recently, they've also started to dabble in fiber to the home. They bought SA Digital Villages, which is a fiber to the home provider. They bought Conduct Telecommunications, which is a fiber to the business provider. And now their parent company is buying Vumatel. So interesting development. I think a lot of people will say, well, thank goodness that CIVH is buying it and not Vodacom. I've seen a lot of remarks like that on social media. It's an interesting move. I think that the speculation about Vodacom moving in probably prompted CIVH, and this is me speculating, but I think it probably prompted Remgro and CIVH to make their move now and to enter into these exclusive discussions.
And what a purchase it is for any business, I think. I mean, what a company. I mean, we've been speaking about Vumatel since its inception, since they first broke ground there in Parkhurst.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking about them for many years to come still, because they kind of did so many amazing things, firstly, but secondly, also, built so much value in a relatively short period of time.
Indeed. And this isn't the first business that they've sold to, ultimately, to Remgro. Johan Pretorius and Neil Schumann, who started Vumatel, I think with Richard Kame, started another business called Conduct Telecommunications, which they also sold to the same group that was a fiber to the business provider. So the second time around, in fact, in my interview with Peter Ace this week, he said that given their relationship and the fact that they've worked together previously, they were quite comfortable working with the team there, and they're quite comfortable doing the deal. They haven't disclosed the value of the acquisition, although I would imagine that at some point Remgro will disclose it in their financial reporting. But I'd imagine also that it's quite a sizable acquisition. I would imagine it's in the upper hundreds of millions, if not in the billions. Big exit for the guys from Vumatel. They've done very well out of this. And you're right, this company has transformed the last mile broadband market in South Africa. And I think having them not owned by a major telco is probably a good thing.
Yeah, we've seen that story written many times in history, internationally and locally. Yeah, it's probably a safer move for the consumer.
Yes, indeed. So, we'll watch this with a great deal of interest. They're in exclusive talks for around 2 or 3 months, I think. They need to raise the funding for the second tranche, so the 65.1% that they haven't bought. But it sounds a bit odd, Remgro struggling to find funding, but I suppose they've got to go through the right channels and use the right balance sheets and all the rest of it and do the capital raising in the right sort of way. So I'm very certain that they are going to be able to raise the funding to do the deal. So we should have a finalization on that in the not too distant future. But very interesting development and a big consolidation in the telecommunications market. So Sipho, I don't know if you saw the Sunday Times this morning. Sipho Maseko, the CEO of Telkom, page 3 of the newspaper, well, I read it on my iPad, put out a full-page open letter to the politicians. It was addressed to Cyril Ramaphosa, the leader of the ANC. It was addressed to Musi Maimane, the leader of the DA, Musia Lokota from COPE, Mangosuthu Buthelezi from the IFP, and other politicians, in which he basically said, look at these terrible economic numbers, the GDP growth numbers in the first quarter, which were down 2.2%, absolutely shocking. And he said the ICT sector, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have the ad in front of me, but he said that this this has the potential, the sector has the potential to unlock economic growth, and we really need to focus on that. And I thought it was very interesting. He spoke about spectrum needs to be released, et cetera, et cetera. And he's absolutely right about all of these things. But I penned a column this morning, published actually just before we started podcasting today, saying that his remarks do need to be taken with a pinch of salt, given what Telkom said at the colloquium or the workshop that the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services held in March to talk about the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, the draft version thereof, where Telkom argued very strongly for the Wholesale Open Access Network, which is government's plan to create a kind of a super infrastructure entity in the telecoms market, to be given access to all unallocated spectrum. So in other words, 4G spectrum in the digital dividend bands at 2600 megahertz, at 3500 megahertz, etc., which I've written in the past is a terrible idea, because we don't want to go back to the days where there is an infrastructure monopoly, and giving all the spectrum to one player is going to result in an infrastructure monopoly. Infrastructure competition is not a bad thing, although the government seems to think it is. So I've written a piece on that today. So basically saying, Sipho Maseko was making the right comments here. It's fantastic that Telkom is raising these issues in a public forum like this, putting pressure on the politicians to do something about this, because we all know that the spectrum should have been released ages ago. But at the same time, imploring the politicians not to listen to the specifics of Telkom's plans too carefully, because I think it's talking in its own self-interest, and that if implemented, it could actually harm the sector and ultimately harm consumers, lead to higher prices and undermine innovation. But it was interesting to see that on page 3 of the Sunday Times today. I did wonder why he decided to go so public with it. It did make me wonder whether Sipho Maseko has any political ambitions. I really don't know if he does, but it was an interesting move by the CEO of a major company that's 40% owned by the government. There it is. Go have a look at today's Sunday Times, or check out, actually the ad is on Tech Central under my column, so go and have a look at that. I think we'll take a quick break, Rehart. We'll be back right after this.
BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Hello? I know you're there. Look, I can see the lights of the TV. Please, I just want to watch the finale. Come on, guys. I'll give you a foot massage. Or anything.
Time to get your own fiber? Speak to Vox. Because for a limited time period, you can save up to 3,000 Rand in installation costs. And we'll send a technician to help you get set up.
Hello?
Go to vox.co.za. Get fiber to your home. Get free installation and activation. Open the door to endless entertainment.
T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to the show. How's it, Rehart?
How's it, Duncan?
So plenty of
is it also as is it also as cold in that part of the world as it is in this part of the world?
Yeah, it's midwinter, man. It's not nice. I'm definitely a summer person. I don't mind the days. The sun shines and it's quite pleasant. But getting up at 7 in the morning is deeply unpleasant, I must say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a real telecom show this week, isn't it? Cell C this week went to the High Court in Johannesburg to seek an urgent interdict against ICASA, the communications regulator, arguing that ICASA has given the industry too little time to implement the new data expiry and data rollover rules. They were given 30 days from the publication of the regulations in the Government Gazette, and that took it to the 8th of June, Friday. So they went to court arguing that that you haven't given us enough time. In fact, Cell C is saying they need 6 months to be able to implement this on their back-end billing systems and all the rest of it. MTN has joined them in the case. They've come on board. I don't know if you call it a friend of the court or you become a co-litigant, but MTN joined them. Telkom said on Friday that they are considering joining them. I don't know if they have. Vodacom, curiously, is saying that they haven't been given enough time, but they haven't said whether they're going to join the litigation or not. But certainly the industry is not happy about the short deadline that ICASA has given them. Do they have a point? I don't know. I don't really have an insight into the complexities of these billing systems and these back-end systems that they have. It may well, very well be true that making these changes is very difficult. What may also be the case is that these companies are having to change their business models on the back of these regulations, and that may be more the reason why they need longer to implement these things, because they really need to think about their pricing and I'd imagine that changing the back-end systems is a matter of speaking to the vendor that they have contracted to do that sort of stuff with them and telling them this is the deadline, do it. So maybe it's a bit of both, complex back-end systems that need to be changed coupled with the impact it's going to have on their tariff plans and packages.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how difficult it is to change businesses that are so cemented within a particular structure or way of working. Mm. I can only imagine that this is going to have a profound impact on the back end business, even just the basic thing as keeping track of the accounting. And rolling over those minutes, essentially, the data. Mm. 6 months, yeah, I guess it's a fair amount just to allow them to also test new systems that should they be implementing anything. I mean, we don't know exactly what they're doing.
We can't really know because we don't have insight into those systems and what it involves. But ICASA stood firm and they said, no, we're not going to do this. It seems a little unreasonable from ICASA. Maybe give them 3 months. But ICASA said, no, we'll see you guys in court. So they all ended up in court on, I think it was Friday. Could have been Thursday. It was Thursday. On an urgent basis. And the court ruled. It wasn't a judgment. It was an order of the court. They told ICASA that you may not implement this until the court has had a chance to consider it. They then gave ICASA 10 days, I think it was, to respond file a responding affidavit, and Cell C and other interested parties, I think, a further 5 days to respond to the affidavit that ICASA submits to the court. So at least 15 days before the court will hear this. It'll probably be more time than that. So in effect, they've been given a reprieve of a couple of weeks at least. But I don't know. ICASA, I suppose, wants to be seen to be on the side of consumers. But it might have been easier and cheaper, and ultimately ICASA is taxpayers' money, to simply say, okay, guys, you've got 2 months, you've got 3 months, make sure you've got it done by then. It would appear to me that would be the smartest way of doing it. But I suppose ICASA is playing a PR game as well here, and it's under pressure from the politicians and from consumers to be seen to be acting against the operators. So they've decided to go to court, which will no doubt cost taxpayers a lot of money. But there we have it. The new data rules have not come into force on Friday as anticipated. So data rollover does not have to be offered, and outer bundle continues to exist for now anyway.
Sigh.
So our next story, also telecoms related. Vodacom took a bit of a knock this week at the Advertising Standards Authority. They were told, in fact, they ran an advert, I think it was back in January, late January, in the print media, claiming that they were SA's best network using something called the SACSI Index. I forget what that stands for, South African Consumer Satisfaction Index, I think. And MTN took issue with this, saying that in the past, MTN, the operators have always claimed to have a best network based on network performance, not based on some other measure like customer satisfaction. And so they took the issue to the ASA, and the ASA found in Vodacom's favor. And MTN wasn't happy with that, so they took the decision on review to the Advertising Tribunal. Which is the review panel, and the review panel dismissed the Advertising Standards Authority's initial finding and ruled in favor of MTN. So the decision was overturned, and Vodacom has been ordered to withdraw advertising based on SACSI that claims that it's the best network in South Africa. Now, this is all part of a huge investment that both operators, but particularly MTN, have been making over the last couple of years. In fact, MTN South Africa has been outspending Vodacom South Africa on CapEx over the last 3 years, and there's no doubt that their network has shown massive performance improvements. You use MTN, Rechard. Have you noticed a significant improvement in the quality of the data service, particularly?
Look, I've been very happy with their data service for many years. I mean, I've been with them since I first had a cell phone. So it might be a little bit biased from that point of view. But yes, I've always get really good speeds in even most rural places if I do go away for a weekend. Obviously, there's a few places that I've been to that Vodacom has got a better connection or better coverage, so I'd lose out there. But in the cities where we roam, I'm very happy. The service is fantastic. The quality of the data, the service.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a knock for Vodacom, which has always prided itself in being South Africa's best network. And certainly there's been quite a bit of research lately, some of it more credible than others, showing that MTN's network has, in fact, been outperforming Vodacom's in many areas. We look forward to the next set of numbers, which are from Ookla, which is the guys who do speed tests. And I think their research is probably the most credible of it all, of them all. But we look forward to seeing the latest results from that, which will give us what definitively, I think, one way or the other, whose network is best. But certainly some research that's been done is suggesting that MTN's network is outperforming Vodacom's in many areas. So Vodacom doesn't like to be second, so it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to this. Are they going to up their capital expenditure for the rest of the year? What are they going to do to reclaim that crown from MTN? Because they have allowed themselves to slip relative to MTN's performance. And of course, MTN has been investing megabucks, over 10 billion rand a year for the last 3 years. So 30 billion plus in its network. That's a heck of a lot of money and is going to buy you a lot of network performance. The fight is on between MTN and Vodacom as to who's got the best network. And it certainly looks like MTN has taken a bit of a lead for the moment anyway. So, Rechard, you wanted to talk about Google and AI. I saw the headlines this week. They've barred the U.S. military and possibly other militaries from using their AI technology in weapons, but at the same time, they're continuing to work with the military. Tell us a bit about the story.
Yeah, so it's basically around AI. I'm always trying to keep my eye on the developments because I find it so absolutely fascinating, and this is ultimately the stuff that's going to dictate how our tech is going to interact with us in the future, right? Now, Google has partnered with the Department of Defense in the U.S. On Project Maven, which is basically artificial intelligence that would analyze drone footage from the Department of Defense wherever they may be flying their drones, right? So, I mean, from a military point of view alone, this could become sketchy if Google can't draw a line between what's good and what's bad, ultimately. But the Google employees raised their concern about this, and as a result of it, Google decided to pull at least that part of the contract, which expires next year. So Google won't be working with military on AI, so it won't use artificial intelligence to decipher potential targets, and I think that could also, put Google out of harm's way when it comes to bad decisions that AI could be making. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So Google is still going to be working with the military on other projects that's not AI related. So they're not completely cutting their ties, but at least when it comes to this advanced computer thinking, consumers at least can rest assured that their search engine company isn't going to potentially be a problem for them in the future when there's military action.
interesting one. And we're going to see more and more of these debates as AI advances and becomes better and better and better.
It's a scary future if you think about it. I mean, yeah. Where do you draw the line if there's no benchmark for this? You know, we've never done this before.
Yes. So speaking of Google, the Google Assistant, I may have mentioned this to you. I don't think I mentioned it on air, though. If you go into the Google Assistant on your phone and ask Google to tell you a riddle, tell me a riddle, and go down the rabbit hole. It's quite fun.
I started playing there, and it is fantastic. Yeah. Well worth the time.
Yeah. If you haven't told the Google Assistant to tell you a riddle, go do it after the show. So that's our news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. Our winner this week, for obvious reasons, is Vumatel. Fantastic exit. Assuming it's going to be a full exit, which I think it will be. Well done to Neil Skumanya, Hunt Pretorius, and everyone else involved at Vumatel for that deal. And our loser this week, for similar reasons, is Vodacom for apparently losing out on the deal. But there we go. Tough luck, guys. You lost out on Neotel, and now you have lost out on Vumatel, it would appear. What's your pick this week, Richard?
So, you know, I've been back playing on the world of Windows. Welcome home. Look, I'm not fully off Mac yet, but I'm exploring a lot of interesting things that I can, you know, that I can enjoy Windows with again.
Yeah.
But there are a few features that I do like on my Mac operating system that's not natively in Windows 10. Not many, but there are a few. So I found this week called Quick Look, and it essentially adds an instant preview to any files. Now, what I'm doing in my evenings on the side too is I'm sorting out some old data that I have and clearing out some old drives because I've just got a lot of accumulated data from years and years of backing up. So for me, in order for me to quickly go through some of this content, especially if it's video files or video clips, I quickly need to view. I don't want to open it up in a Adobe application. Quick Look basically just adds its functionality in the preview section for me.
Okay.
And it supports most files. There will be a link in the show notes. It's available in the Microsoft Store, and it's for free. It's a really cool little application if you are sorting data and trying to clean up and just quickly see what is in a file.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to check that out. Sounds cool. My pick this week is a game. I've been picking a lot of games lately, but I seem to have found a bit of time over weekends to do some gaming.
Nice.
And I kind of have a bonus pick this week as well, though it's not a pick because I haven't played it yet. My pick this week is something called SteamWorld Dig 2. It's a game on Steam. It's a platformer, but really, really fun. You play a miner, and you've got to go digging for all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to give away too much of the story, but it's a platformer where you I think it's probably set in the 1920s or something, and you dig through. You mine essentially for different things, but it's very well executed. It's a great little story and very playable. I got it on a Steam special about 2 weeks ago. It's gone back up to full price, which I think is about 220 Rand. But even at that price, it's worth it.
It's still cheap, yeah.
Yeah, SteamWorld Dig 2. So to check that out, it's if you like platformers, it's very good. It's not a new game. I think it's been out for a bit. But have a look and maybe add it to your wish list in Steam if you don't want to pay full price. I'm sure it'll be on special again at some point. And my kind of bonus pick, which isn't a pick this week, is Unravel 2, which was announced at E3 just yesterday. Game by Electronic Arts. The original game was absolutely brilliant. Just Unravel. You basically play a ball of yarn that runs around.
Is that one of your dreams, Duncan?
It's all
play a ball of yarn.
I'll go back to my knitting after the show. But it's a great little game. But the first one is brilliant, and the graphics are outstanding. I've looked at the videos and the pictures from the new one, and I've just bought it. It's available in Origin for 269 Rand. Fantastic little game. The original is, I think, on sale for just about nothing at the moment in Origin. So if you're an unsure about it, go grab the original. And then if you like that, then get the follow-up. But it's also a little platformer, but it's beautifully done. It's very cute. It's absolutely gorgeous graphics. You kind of get mesmerized by the world that they've created. What's nice about Unravel 2 is it's a multiplayer, so you can play cooperatively online with a friend, which will add a lot to the appeal of the original game. So that's Unravel 2. It's already available. It was announced yesterday and released immediately into the Origin store. So go have a look, but check out the original. Check out the original. It's on sale. I don't have Origin open on my PC in front of me right now, but it's either free to play at the moment or it's just a couple of rand. That's the original Unravel. Unravel 2 is $2.69. But my main pick this week is Steam World Dig 2, which is a great little platformer. And I think that's our show. Apart from our quiz results, let me do the first question. Remgro's CIVH is planning to buy 100% of fiber specialist Vumatel. How much of the business did it announce it has acquired this week? And that is 34.9%.
Second question. Which mobile operator this week took communications regulator to court over the short deadline it was given to implement a new rule about data expiry and rollover? And the answer, obviously, is Cell C.
And which streaming video provider snapped up rights to England's Premier League this week? And that is Amazon.com. So I think it only applies to the UK, so I don't think we're going to have soccer. I could be wrong, but I don't think we have the Premier League on Amazon Prime Video in South Africa. But it's an interesting move, and I suspect it's not going to be too long before MultiChoice finds itself bidding for things like the Super Rugby games against one of these big international streaming providers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Premier League in England, you know, to own that, it's pretty, it's massive.
Ain't cheap. It ain't cheap.
Only, exactly. I'm sure in South Africa, SuperSport still has a dominance on that license, but it's one inch closer to, I guess, taking over. Anyway, the fourth question this week's quiz. Qualcomm this week unveiled a new processor for PCs in an effort to begin to dislodge Intel's dominance on the PC market. What is that processor called? And the answer is the Snapdragon 850. Very exciting tech indeed.
Yeah, and the idea is to turn your PC more into a mobile-type device, so the line between PCs and smartphones is going to blur even more. I really do look forward to playing with this with PCs based on this processor. It's going to be very, very interesting to do performance tests and see how they actually perform. Oh, yeah. And the last question in the quiz this week, Microsoft this week acquired which platform for software developers, and for a bonus point, how much is the deal worth? And that is GitHub, and they paid $7.5 billion for that company, which is quite remarkable.
Goodbye, in my opinion. Goodbye.
Well,
it's a fantastic platform.
don't tell that to any of the Linux fans,
the loyal,
who are not happy about the company being owned by Microsoft. But it certainly has divided views. If you go and look at some of the Reddit forums, people are quite divided.
Look, Microsoft certainly isn't the evil corporation we all used to think. It's pretty decent these days. You know?
It is. They're not the Linux is a cancer company that they used once you were. In fact, they've embraced Linux quite openly now and supported quite overtly. It's not the right word, but they support it fully in their Microsoft Azure cloud platform and elsewhere. They've realized that the operating system, they don't have to be so exclusive about Windows and protected at all costs, which I think is a good thing. It's a good move by Microsoft. Exactly. Yeah,
and they'll have to play their cards carefully too. I mean, GitHub is the kind of audience that would drop the platform and go somewhere else. You know, these are all techies, and if something doesn't work for them, they'll move on. So they have to handle it carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our show this week. Keep those WhatsApp voice notes coming. 071-999-1111 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got any questions on today's show or any comments on anything we've said today, please do drop us a voice note and we'll include it in our next episode. If you want to go old school, you can, of course, email us info@techcentral.co.za is the email address. And Rechot, if there's anything else. Oh, I just wanted to mention, we've got quite a few audio files who listen to this podcast. And we had some audio issues at the start of the show today. So Rechot is using a lapel mic at the moment. So the quality is not quite what we want it to be, but it's getting there. If you go and have a listen to the podcast that I did this week with Mark Pilgrim, I think that's the new benchmark in the sort of audio, yes, online audio recording quality that we want to achieve on this podcast. But we should be back to full quality. I'm not saying that your quality was bad at all this week, Rechot. In fact, it was pretty good.
Sure.
But we're going to get that silky smooth audio online working as it should, hopefully from our next episode next Sunday. So we'll hope you'll be able to join us live. We record at 1 o'clock or thereabouts. We'll try and stick to the 1 o'clock deadline. You can find the live show on live.techcentral.co.za. And of course, it'll always be available pretty soon afterwards for anyone who wants to subscribe to it through their favorite podcatcher software. We'll be going live on Spotify in the next few weeks. We are now available on Stitcher as well, and most platforms, including iTunes, the podcasts app on Apple, Pocket Casts, you name it. You'll probably find it if it's a podcast app, podcatcher. So just search Tech Central and you'll find all of our podcasts on those platforms.
Available in stereo near you.
So until next week, from Rechot and myself, cheers.
Cheers.